Hi again, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Wednesday, the 25th of April. Just a quick note here, if I can find it. Here it is. We have a spring pledge drive starting on the 3rd of May, but if you want this baby to be real short, your online pledge before the drive will shorten this. Members have already contributed over $7,000 toward our goal of $275,000. And when we reach that amount of money, the drive will end. If we reach it before the 3rd of May, we wouldn't even start the pledge drive. I don't know what the chances are of that happening, but wouldn't be a bad thing if you want to pledge online. And here's how you do it. It's WPR.org, WPR.org. All right, here we go with some wonderful stories about presidents and Nixon in China and Vietnam. Our guest this hour is Dick Halstead. And he's put together a gorgeous book, Moments in Time, which includes photos and stories from his nearly 50 years of picture taking. He started his career at the age of 17 as a high school newspaper editor who waited outside the White Plains, New York courthouse for Rita Hayworth to appear. He got the picture and it landed on the front page of the New York Daily Mirror. He then went on to cover the McCarthy hearings. He covered the battlefields of Vietnam as UPI picture bureau chief and photographer in Saigon. The bulk of his career, he was the chief White House photographer for Time magazine, so he has private and public times of presidents of four administrations, the Nixon administration, Ford, the first Bush presidency, and Bill Clinton. His photos have been on the cover of Time magazine 50 times, and what graces the, if that's the right word, cover of his book is the most famous photo, the intern Monica Lewinsky, who is hugging President Clinton. And it's there's a real interesting story behind that as well. He's also photographed some of Hollywood's most famous talents. He is now senior fellow in photojournalism at the Center for American History at the University of Texas and founder of the DigitalJournal.org, an account of his work accompanied by his recollections of the compelling stories behind the pictures is in his book, Moments in Time. And we'll welcome phone calls, 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. If you're joining us in Milwaukee, it is 414-227-2050, 414-227-2050. Hello, Dirk. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Kathleen.
Yeah. Let's start with the presidency. You write it's a truism among the White House press corps. If you want to know what kind of president the new Oval Office occupant will be, you should ask the photographers. Why?
Well, when you think about it, reporters deal with words. And starting at 8 o'clock in the morning with the first gaggle with the press secretary, they are constantly bombarded by spin. And the spin comes in the form of releases, it comes in the form of press briefings, and they meet constantly with senior White House officials. And the whole purpose of those meetings from the standpoint of the officials is to present the president in the best possible light. So they are dealing with an avalanche of words. Photographers, on the other hand, all we know is what we see. We are pretty good judges of character. You know, I always say that your soul is reflected in your eyes. And by just looking at the way a president appears, you can very often get a sense of how that person is going to turn out. In the White House.
Yeah. You write, in the early days of the Nixon administration, we could tell that trouble lay ahead. You saw it in the eyes, or what?
Well, Nixon, you know, he was a photographer's dream because everything was reflected on his face. His eyes would dart around. This moisture would come out on his upper lip. And in fact, you know, we always used to say that, you know, he should never be a poker player because you could see everything on his face. And very interesting about that guy. The first time I began to understand just how uncomfortable he was in his own skin was at a cocktail party that was thrown for the press right after he got the nomination in 1968. And here was Richard Nixon walking around this room with a tray full of martinis. And he would come up to people and say, you know, you got to have one of my martinis. And I thought that was a little odd.
Yeah, that is a little odd.
And I began to realize, and I saw it many times after that, that he was so uncomfortable around people that his answer to that was to become a waiter. And then he wouldn't have to talk to them.
Isn't that interesting? And yet, he must have been Chinese in a former lifetime. The pictures of him in China, and you had full access here, I have never seen a happier Dick Nixon. He is smiling all over the place. He looks comfortable. He obviously looks like he's having a rip-roaring good time.
Well, you know, the thing is, he really sort of meshed with the Chinese. And I have to say one thing about Richard Nixon to start with. We have probably never had a smarter person as president.
Really?
He's very, very bright. And I used to watch him do off-the-cuff addresses on things like the salt limitation talk. His knowledge, especially when it comes to foreign relations, was superb. Unfortunately, he was also the most paranoid president we ever had. And, of course, his paranoia is what finally undid him.
Let's just, there's so much to cover, we'll move on and our audience can pick up on whatever president they would like or other subjects as well. Lyndon Johnson, no inhibitions around the camera. People could even take pictures of him on the toilet. Did you do that?
I didn't do that.
No.
But his personal photographer sure did.
Yeah, great.
You know, he was bigger than life. Not hesitate to pull up his dog up by the ears or pull up his shirt to show a surgery scar. His favorite tactic, even with other leaders, was intimidation. He would just tower above people. He was really something else. And there are stories about Lyndon Johnson that I can't even go into over the radio.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure that's true. Gerald Ford, one of the sweetest people ever to occupy the Oval Office, actually loved photographers.
Absolutely. You know, he had no desire whatsoever to be president. It would be the furthest thing from his mind. I mean, he was just so happy being a congressman from Michigan. The fact that he was tapped set in motion a whole chain of events which nobody anticipated. For the first week that he was president, he still lived in his house in Virginia. And he would come into the White House in the morning like he was going to work with his three-piece suit, take off his coat, and sit down at the desk and roll up his sleeves and get to work. He was a very honorable, very decent guy.
Jimmy Carter, a total disaster visually. It's interesting you say that because as I look at your pictures of him and as I think of pictures of Jimmy Carter, it's very hard to get a reading of what's going on in his mind. He has a similar expression on almost every picture I can remember taken of him.
Well, you know, he has turned out to be a excellent former president, elder statesman. I mean, he's made a couple of mistakes recently. As president, he could not seem to grow into that office and project power. The first picture I remember taking of him in the first couple of weeks in office was he was sitting in front of the fireplace, and he had this cardigan sweater on. And his idea was, well, this would harken back to Roosevelt's fireside talks, but it really just looked dumb. The two pictures that people remember about Jimmy Carter were both disasters. The first, he was running in a marathon It was his idea to do this, and his advisors warned him against doing it, and finally they said, well, if you do it, you better finish. And he didn't, and he wound up literally falling out of the race, and the picture of him exhausted appeared on the front page of every newspaper in the world the next day under the headline, American Hostage Rescue Attempt Fails in the Deserts of Iran.
Oh, my gosh.
And the other picture that people remember, he was on vacation in Plains, Georgia. He's out in this little rowboat fishing, and a rabbit came out from the bank and started to swim in circles around the boat. And Carter thought it would scare off the fish, and so he took his oar and began flailing away at the rabbit. And that just made the rabbit angrier, and the rabbit started swimming faster and faster around the boat, and Carter is flailing around with his oar. And that picture became known as the attack of the killer rabbit.
Oh, my. You, though, on the other hand, have a very lovely picture. I believe it's in Mexico of he and Rosalind who are very, it's a very playful, fun kind of picture. They're trying to, he's trying to jump over some water.
Yeah, just jumping over a little ditch, yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of sweet. Ronald Reagan, this guy, it was hard to photograph him without getting those twinkles in the eyes, huh? He was a natural.
Well, Ronald Reagan, first off, was an actor.
Right.
And his star role was as President of the United States. I have never seen any human being more comfortable in his own skin than Ronald Reagan was.
Hmm.
And he sort of treated the White House as an actor would treat a trailer, and the Oval Office would become the set. And so he would walk from the trailer in the morning and hit his mark and act the part of a president, which he did extraordinarily well, to the point where Mikhail Gorbachev and the Soviet Union basically folded in face of what essentially was a bluff, which was this strategic